you're just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculpture.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Feels like we haven't done one of these in ages.
I know, it's only been a week though, but yeah. Oh no, yeah, we haven't actually.
A full interview.
We haven't had an interview and we haven't had an artist on site for a while.
So first official Who Arted in 2018. Who do we have in studio today, Amy?
Today we have photographer Angus McNaughton chatting with us about his latest solo exhibition, Finding Home, which is on at Lot 23.
Hello.
Hey, Angus, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no worries.
Hey, Angus, before we begin talking about your photography, can you tell us a bit about your audio engineering?
it's a bit of a long and convoluted story, but yeah, what do you want to know?
Well, so that's what you've been doing. So you studied photography, then you went into audio engineering.
Yeah, I got pretty distracted in the 90s by audio engineering, and so I was really just doing that. So I kind of forgot about the photography thing for quite a long time, but I've just kind of rediscovered it.
And what bands have you? What are your notables?
Yeah, I'm really bad at this.
Name drop.
All sorts of stuff, but you know, it's like Shea Fu, Chains, and produced that, and I don't know, lots of SJD, all the SJD albums.
I love SJD.
He's a total genius, and. But yeah, so quite a lot of production, but actually more mastering, audio mastering is really what I do now.
Did you do Store People?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I've been in the studio with them a few times. But sorry. I didn't do them. They're both producers themselves.
Of course. Okay. What about and that's Headless Chickens is the same group. Why did I get?
I was in the Headless Chickens.
Oh, that's where I got that from.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Shame on me getting my facts all messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But, anyway, let's get on to the art stuff.
But more recently, we've reformed Unitone Hi-Fi, which is we just played at Laneway, which went really well.
Yeah.
We're playing at Ruapuki Roots Festival this. Saturday.
Sold out, yeah.
Which is sold out, yeah. So that's the latest 90s thing we've sort of resurrected.
So a comeback kind of.
Yeah, big break, and we're back into it doing this sort of anti-barbecue dub music.
That sounds really cool, anti-barbecue dub. I didn't know that was the genre, but now I do.
You've heard of barbecue dub.
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's the thing.
I don't know anything about music.
Yeah.
I only know about things I see with my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, it's good. It's good.
Oh, I really want to hear it. Anyway, okay, but I can't go because it's sold out. Anyway.
No.
Talking about your photography now, so you've gone back into photography, just to read a bit about, a bit of a description about your latest work, which is of beautiful homes in and around Auckland, I believe. So taking the long way home, you conduct a compelling search through the streets and find houses that force you to stop and take photos. Simple post-war dwellings are chosen for their pared-back forms, unfenced homes for their exposure to the street outside. The viewer is drawn down the garden path and into the private darkness beyond. Multiple layers and bittersweet emotions are represented here in these works, a stillness and the passing of time, portals to the other side. Unpeopled themes of absence, emptiness, dreamlike promise, safety, warmth, isolation, disembodied vacancy are contained within these images, exemplifying that the literal documentation actually contains a much deeper metaphorical thread. Your photos, Angus, do have a sense of silence, and I always imagine that after a long day of working in the studio, and this may not be correct, I imagine you've got a long day of working in the studio, and then you go for a wander in the silence and the absence of the sound as a reaction to having been dominated by sound all day. How do you go about taking your pics?
Well, it's documentary photography, so and it's kind of a process of kind of wandering around these suburbs and discovering new streets and exploring mainly Auckland. And just think things. Certain houses grab me, I've been doing it for quite a long time, but a bit of an obsession. This latest series. Over the last 18 months or so, I've collected together this latest series.
I really like it. Most of your house photography is at kind of dusk Well, a lot of these look like they're dusk. Even if they're not, you kind of colourise so that they have that kind of golden, magical light.
Definitely
on it.
Definitely dreamlike quality going on there. So I'm just trying to temper the kind of starkness of documentary reality with the promise of this kind of a dreamy view of a home. So it's always playing around with that edge of it being pretty versus a bit depressing at the same time. So some of the works go more towards the beautiful side of things, but then other ones it's just getting a bit spooky and haunted, but always trying to infuse them with a kind of dreamlike quality. So yeah, that's really important.
I've been following your house photography ever since you started exhibiting again, and I have noticed now when I drive around Auckland, I see you've made some little houses famous because I see them and I'm like, oh, that's that house.
Yeah.
Do you ever, when you wander, and then I was thinking the other day, you're wandering around, it might be dusk and you're taking photos. Do you ever ask the owners, like, can I take photos? Or you're like just creeping around? Awesome.
I'm just stalking around these neighborhoods and cul-de-sacs, and I haven't asked anybody any permission at all, and so I am
a guerrilla photographer.
Well, you know, it's legal, but it is borderline. People like to have a sense of privacy about who's staring through their front windows, and it's amazing. I have had very little confrontation except for a couple of people just shouting, "Oi, bugger off!" You know. I'm waiting to get really confronted, actually. But it is a wee bit scary sometimes, some of these neighbourhoods that you're going into, sort of people's private, you know, streets and stuff.
And you must look, especially in a cul-de-sac, you must look like quite the odd one out.
Yeah, it's weird, this stalkery guy cruising around cul-de-sacs, which normally people don't sort of wander around.
Have you seen that one on Sandringham Road? There's like one little street that's full of state houses, and I really love it.
Yep.
It's quite run down.
Yeah.
Have you been up wandering up there
yet? I would have. Yeah, that's one of the suburbs.
So your suburbs have a distinct personality, generally 1930s to 60s fringe suburbs such as Mount Roskill, Oranga. I don't even know that suburb.
It's One Tree Hill. Corstorphine's in Dunedin.
Oh, right. Sorry, Dunedin.
It's where that doctor was murdered.
Oh, what doctor?
Oh, no, the doctor murdered. Anyway, it's in the news.
Well, when?
A couple of days ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, let's talk about
it's
that.
It's a bit of a rough suburb of Dunedin.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
And Newlyn, Green Bay, Brockvale, Mount Eden, Mount Albert, Ellerslie, Ranui, Avondale, Bexley, Pamuet, all these places I go around. So this is where the state housing or kit homes were constructed in Greenfield developments. Simpler, unadorned forms were preferred in this mid-century period, and the focus of this show. Life is changing in these suburbs, albeit slowly. Families move in and out, renovations are made, and the cities spread outwards and beyond. Do you feel that you may be capturing a part of Auckland that is dying quickly?
The suburbs were... It's just really interesting how different all of these suburbs are, depending on when the houses were built. And suburb like Mount Roskill, which is enormous, it was originally the city fringe, and that was the green fields of Auckland, but Auckland has moved so much further beyond that now. So things are changing really quickly, but you don't really, that's the stillness thing, you don't really see the change in front of you as a human. It's a longer time frame, but things are changing pretty quickly. There's certain suburbs that have these types of post-World War I, mid-century types of houses. I mean, some of them are ex-state houses, that type of simplified forms with, boxes and simple geometric shapes and unadorned, without too much frilly bits and pieces on them. But one of the reasons why I choose some of these suburbs is that they're very exposed, and there is no fencing or trees, so it makes a very good photographic composition that where I can really frame up a very, very clear image of this house. So a lot of these other suburbs that have been gentrified have had all sorts of fences
and
trees, and it makes it sort of impossible to capture in a good way.
Well, I really love these kind of houses. Like, I love them.
Mm.
The work you've done, it looks amazing. I want to talk with you more, but we're crawling into news time now, so I have to actually wrap it up there. But yeah. Thank you so much for coming in, Angus.
Total pleasure, yeah.
Your show opened last night. And yeah. It's at 23 Minnie Street at Lot 23 for all of February. And if you want to check out Angus's work, check out the podcast up on BFM, and I will put a link to his website up there so you can click through. Otherwise, angusmcnaughton.com. But that's got all your bird photography there, so I was thinking.
Kind of need to update that, but yeah, check out the Lot 23 site for info on the show.
Yeah, yeah, it's got lots of info and you'll love the works. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touche.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.